Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 227. There's no place like home, right, Wombat?
That's right, Mary.
Yeah, that was a good show. I watched that show, Marla Gibbs, right?
That's right, Mary.
What was the slutty girl's name?
Mary?
Jack Hay.
Jack Hay, Jack Hay.
Jack Hay.
Jack Hay was the actress.
I know, but it's Jack Hay. It doesn't matter.
Right, she was awesome. Shipwreck.
Mary.
Do you have any, would like to do some impressions from black sitcoms?
I'm good at the moment, but.
How about Sanford and Son?
I have the complete collection on VHS.
The best episode by far. Well, there's two best episodes. One where they go to the Chinese restaurant, where Lamont takes Fred to the Chinese restaurant, and Fred is incredibly racist throughout the entire meal. I believe he even says, "I ain't gonna eat no chink food," at one point. Which was good. And then there's the other one with Pat Morita where they open up a Japanese restaurant inside Fred's house. Do you remember that one? Pat Morita is the chef. It's classic.
His name is racist in that one?
Well, let's put it this way. His character's name was Achu, which is not really a Japanese name.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Pretty sure. That's not the same as being sure.
No, I'm 100% sure.
Okay.
I guess Pat Morita didn't have a lot of job opportunities back then, and he's like, I'll take it. Anything. What, do you want me to desecrate my ancestors? No problem. But yeah, I love black sitcoms.
All right.
Yeah. So anyway, we have a lot of stuff to talk about and not a lot of time to do it in because I have to leave. So we're going to try to do a abbreviated show, and in a way, this will be like an experiment. So we'll get the feedback from you on what you think of it. We're going to be talking about, of course, the Sony NGP, Dead Space 2, Two Worlds, the Penny Arcade Dick Wolves thing, and a special new segment designed by Shipwreck. But let's start off with a little bit of show feedback from last week. Wombat, this is your time.
Yes, Black Santa 87 had says, in quotes, "You know me, every time I get to a frustrating part in a game, I never play it again. GPD. You're a pussy. What kind of gamer are you? As soon as you die or something doesn't go your way, you turn it off and move on to the next game. Grow some balls, you fat bitch."
Okay, a few points. One, I'm not a fat. I'm not fat. Okay, I may be a bitch. I'm not fat. Second of all, I never said as soon as I die, I turn it off and move on to the next game. I say when I get to a frustrating part in a game, I don't want to play it again. So that usually means I am dying over and over and over again, and I feel like they're cheap deaths. Or I'm not having, more importantly, I'm just not having fun. When the fun ends, that's when I turn the game off and don't go back to it.
I understand.
So, for example, Dead Space 2. It's not what I would call an easy game. I mean, it's not terribly hard so far, but it's certainly fairly challenging to me, and I've died a fair amount of times. But I don't feel like it's cheap and I'm having fun. So I don't mind it at all. I keep going, moving along. So Black Santa, you're not allowed on my black sitcoms. I don't know what to say. All right,
but
what else?
You've given up on Dead Rising 2 then, right?
Absolutely not. I love it.
Okay.
Hell no.
Really? Dead Rising 2?
Oh, Dead Rising 2. Dead Rising 2. No, I'm going to go back to... I'm sorry. There's a lot of Dead Blank 2 games.
Yeah, it's very confusing. Of them.
I will go back to Dead Rising 2, I predict.
Excellent. Shinizi says, "Wombat put into words what I really couldn't. I've had the same old 20-gigabyte Xbox 360 since 2006, and I've definitely gotten my money out of it, and I still use it on a daily basis. However, I'm starting to get that itch to buy a new console. I just got my first high-def TV for Christmas, and I'm very interested in Blu-ray. Furthermore, I'd like to play the Uncharted games and revisit some of my games from the PS2 days. The price still isn't where I'd like it to be, but I think once it hits $250, I'll jump on it." Mm-hmm. See, I think there's a lot of people that think my theory from last week. And if there is a price drop on the PS3, I think that could really be what helps the PS3, not that they really need help this year.
Right. Well, don't they have $50 gift card deals with the PS3?
You know, a gift card isn't money.
Okay, fair enough. By the way, this guy's name is Shinizi.
Shinizi.
Was he on 227 also?
Yes, he was Mary's next door neighbor. And the woman who played Olivia on Sesame Street.
Okay, let's move on.
She died like last year. That's neither here nor there. Frisky Tanuki says, racing games are definitely dead, Wombat. That's supposed to be sarcasm. That was my sarcastic.
I picked up on it.
Thank you. That's why both Need for Speed Hot Pursuit and Gran Turismo 5 have sold very well this year, because no one likes those games anymore. Blur, Mod Nation Racers, and Split Second killed each other, along with having to compete with games like Red Dead Redemption that took away a good chunk of its potential sales, though only one of those three are still being supported 8 months later. Then again, any genre has its successes and failures. I stand by my statement that the racing genre is not what it was 6 years ago. I don't think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think this Gran Turismo has sold well as its other four incarnations. And I think a lot of the Need for Speed, big sales from November and December was that for most of those 2 months, the game was marked down to $35.
Yeah,
I think Gran Turismo 5 is actually selling pretty well.
Pretty well now. And maybe it has to do with these games are ongoing franchises, and if these other three games that he mentioned are new IPs. And maybe
fine. New racing IPs are dead.
Until one comes out that sells really well.
But what would that be?
I can't imagine. It would be tough to imagine. Yeah.
I can't imagine. Yes. Gran Turismo 5. I mean, it's a Gran Turismo game. It's one of the best-selling franchises of all time. If any racing game will sell, it is that. But I don't think there is a market for a new racing game.
I still play Hot Pursuit all the time. It is really, by far, one of the best games.
It's amazing. I have Hot Pursuit.
It's an amazing game. It's definitely one of the best games that came out last year. It's just so much fun. It's great. And
there's a reason why stuff like even like Burnout doesn't sell all that great. It's because it doesn't have the Need for Speed license. I mean, that's the reason they have Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, and it's not a new Burnout game.
Yeah,
there's only a handful of licenses that sell.
Right.
Need for Speed, Gran Turismo, Forza, and Mario Kart.
I don't know if Mario Kart counts, but okay, fair enough.
Sure it does. Okay. It definitely counts.
It counts. Let's go into new releases, because we got a lot of good stuff that I'm excited to talk about.
Okay, we'll move on before I put my foot further in my mouth.
Excellent.
Yeah, there's not much that great to talk about new releases.
Good.
There's Bionic Commando Rearm 2. For Xbox Live Arcade and PSN, that's the one that you can jump now.
Right. Well, that sounds good. I like jumping.
I got a code tonight for that, actually, so I haven't had a chance to check it out yet. But
all right.
I don't know. It's more Bionic Commando. I didn't finish the first one, so I'm really not that excited about the second one.
It's hard.
Right. Again.
Right. I'm a pussy.
Uh-huh. The big release this week is the map packs for Call of Duty.
I don't think I'm buying that.
Not either. I mean, I don't play them online, but I've heard good things about
them. I was going to say, when was the last time you played Call of Duty online, Cheapy?
It was a long time ago.
Exactly. So you're not. Why would you buy a map pack?
I wouldn't, and I'd be terrible. I'd basically be spending another $15 on top of the $60 that I spent to get my ass kicked.
Yeah, stick with Dead Space 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, people seem to like it, though. I've read that people are pleased with their 15.
No, it's supposed to be very good. Okay. If you're a fan of Call of Duty Black Ops, if you're still playing those maps.
All right.
Yeah.
Anything else for new releases?
Nope. That's pretty much it. There might have been a Mr. Bean game come out for the Wii.
I saw. There was like, isn't there the Wii and the DS?
Mm-hmm. Could be two different games, though. Funny. I'm not sure.
It might be. It probably is two different games.
I see.
But they both have Mr. Bean in it.
Right. Okay, so that's it for new releases. Well, that was easy. We're moving right along.
Yeah.
CAG news and stuff. I just wanted to mention that we are sort of relaunching the CAG marketplace for buying, trading, and selling your games. And I actually showed Ship and Wombat the little video that Super Programmer John sent me. Basically, we have a bona fide matching system now where it'll really match up traders with each other, and it uses Ajax, and it presents you with all the pricing from real retailers alongside the pricing from kegs. well, the fake CAG retailers. You'll be able to set, as a seller, you'll be able to set up your shipping charges and have them, like, you know, stay in the system permanently. And, you know, so it'll make the whole selling process a lot easier. Basically, all the suggestions that people have been giving us over the last several months, Super Programmer John has implemented, and it'll be going up, I'm told, by Saturday at the latest.
It's very slick. I saw the video. There's topless women.
Right.
And drink mix recipes. It's very exciting.
Charlie Sheen is smoking cocaine in one of the panels.
Smoking cocaine out of a briefcase.
I listened to Howard Stern, and they had like the porn star who was at Charlie Sheen's house. It's pretty wild stuff, I gotta say. The dude is insane.
I'm gonna say I think he may have a problem. I'm no expert.
The woman, this woman, this porn star, who is, she's a self-admitted alcoholic. She parties every day. She said she's never seen anything like Charlie Sheen. She says it's so ridiculous that if you saw somebody behaving like this in a movie, you'd basically think the movie was very unrealistic, because nobody could actually do this. Nobody could actually do this and survive. So go, Charlie.
Sure.
Sure. Shopping news. I don't really have any shopping news.
Buy stuff.
Buy stuff. Let's move on to multi-platforming.
We don't want to do our GoDaddy yet?
We're going to do the GoDaddy ad later. It's too early.
Okay.
I don't want to blow my GoDaddy load yet.
It's true. We're only 11 minutes in.
Exactly. At this rate, we'll be done with the show in like 20 minutes. Perfect.
I know. We're burning.
This is like a, yeah, this will be interesting. Okay. So multi-platforming, Wombat's news and stuff. A Paranerd writes in via Twitter, and he says, everyone's talking about the Penny Arcade controversy. You may want to discuss it on the CADcast. Now, I like controversy. So
you do. You love controversy.
So I do want to talk about this. Does somebody want to give us a rundown on it for those?
Well, the story goes way back in, what was it, August?
I think
of this year. Yeah, August of
2010.
This year, 2010. Our friends over at Penny Arcade wrote a strip called The Sixth Slave. The basis
and by friends,
of
you
the,
mean people we really don't know.
Yes, that was... Yes, I thought the sarcasm was implied. maybe not. So the basis of the strip was a play on World of Warcraft and other games like it, where the quest would be to save 5 blank or collect 5 blank when there may in fact be 10 things there, but you only need 5 to finish the quest. In this sense, it would be rescue 5 slaves and the quest is over. And in the strip, the 6th slave, hence the title of the strip, approaches you, the hero, and asks for your help. And he says, hero, please take me with you. Release me from this hell unending. Every morning we are roused by savage blows. Every night we are raped to sleep by the dick wolves. And you, the hero, say, I only needed to save 5 slaves, all right? Quest complete.
Right, and that's cute. It's funny. I get it, and you know. It's,
yeah, and yeah, then it's, there it is.
Clever. It is what it is. Okay.
And I way over-explained that.
Right.
That was probably...
Right.
If anything can kill a comic strip, right, that was just it.
You killed it. Okay. Go on.
Well, I don't know who the first person was, because I'm not looking at the timeline. I know okay. You were reading it earlier. But someone got offended by the fact that they used the word raped in a humorous context.
Right.
And which... You know, them being Penny Arcade, they sort of apologized, but sort of didn't.
Right.
They actually did it in the next one.
The next one what?
In the next script, in the next comic strip.
Are you going to read that one verbatim too?
No, I'm not going.
You could ruin it.
You could look that up.
Okay, so a bunch of people blogged about they didn't think that the rape... They didn't like seeing the word rape, I guess, in a comic strip, in a funny comic strip. Okay,
right.
Fine.
And Penny Arcade basically, they kind of blew it off. Like,
right.
Penny Arcade,
you know what?
Would be.
Yeah. Right. You know what? It's supposed to be funny. It is kind of funny. And being, no one, as far as I know, in real life, no one's ever been raped by dick wolves. So I don't really see
unless
how
unless they were raped by Law and Order creator.
Dick Wolf.
Dick Wolf.
Okay, so I don't really see how you could be that offended by it, but okay, whatever. Well, people get offended by humor, by dirty humor. It's just gonna.
I would say also within the context of the strip. Not that I'm apologizing for Penny Arcade, but in the context of the strip, you know, it is because their life is so horrible. It's not glamorizing rape as a positive,
and it's a fantasy universe. There's a monster that's being raped by a monster.
I live the worst life that anyone could possibly happen, as I am constantly raped by fictional wolves with giant penises.
Right. Okay. We get it. Okay. So then, moving further down this timeline, and by the way, this is from debacle.tumblr.com, in case you're looking for this timeline.
Ah, thank you.
So I guess they announced later in the year that they're going to be selling a Dick Wolf t-shirt. Okay. And basically, and there's also going to be and pennants and t-shirt. Wow, they sell a lot of stuff, huh?
Anyway, they do sell a lot of stuff, yeah.
So somebody came forward and said that she was asked to speak at PAX and she's not going to do it because of this whole Dick Wolf thing. And then soon after that, they announced that they're going to remove the Dick Wolf merchandise from the store. And now people, I guess, there's more people who are mad that they can't buy a Dick Wolf shirt now. Is that basically the controversy?
In a nutshell, I think that's basically it. It's, you know, now people are upset. Basically, this thing that really, I mean, I remember reading about it in August and I thought was long dead, has been brought back because they wanted to sell a Dick Wolf t-shirt. And people are saying that the t-shirt glamorizes, is that a word? Glamorizes? Glorifies?
Right.
Rape. Glorifies rape, which, you know, obviously that's a bad thing.
And I think the people who were complaining saying like I wouldn't feel comfortable at PAX as a woman if I see guys wearing shirts with Dick Wolves on them. And I could understand that. And that's
I can understand that too. I could definitely see even if that wasn't the context, even if you take out the whole rape thing, a guy wearing a shirt where he identifies himself as a Dick Wolf. Would make me feel uncomfortable.
Right. And they said, the Penny Arcade guys, I forgot which one, said, look, we want this to be a show for everybody. And, you know, so we'd take the shirt down.
But he also said he was going to wear one to the show.
Right. Yeah, that's the weird thing. I don't
like they keep on coming back.
I think
back,
he was being sarcastic, like he was trying to be funny, but I don't think it worked.
Right. I think that's the issue, is that they're dragging a lot of people into this, or a lot of people are dragging themselves into it that don't get Penny Arcade's humor to begin with.
Right.
And so everything they say gets twisted around anyways. Like, you can't tell what they're saying is sarcastic and what is actually honest.
Yeah, sarcasm doesn't come through Twitter very well.
It doesn't even come through well when I say it on this show, as Shipwreck can attest to. I think they just needed to let it go, like remove the shirts from the store, and that should have been the end of it.
But they want to still like have fun with it, I think, in a way.
Yeah, I think they see humor in this, humor in the chaos.
Right. Ship, what's your theory?
I don't know. It just doesn't interest me at all.
Okay, then we'll move on.
Fine. Yeah, it's just something getting blown out of proportion for no reason, basically. And the people that want to be concerned with it, be concerned with it. If it doesn't offend you, don't worry about it.
Right.
And I think I could speak for Cheapy and Shipwreck when we all say that the official stance of the CADcast is that rape is bad.
Yes.
Don't do it by
fictional characters or real people. No rape.
There you go.
I'm going to wear a shirt that says no rape to PAX.
I'm going to wear a shirt that says therapists, but the THE will be
right
on top.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Clever.
Thank you.
Okay, let's now that we're off Dick Wolf rape, let's move on to something a lot less disturbing. Well, actually, it's more disturbing. Dead Space 2.
Dead Space 2?
Yeah.
Tell us about it, Swombat.
I don't have Dead Space 2.
That game is good.
Yeah, it's really awesome. Ship, tell us about Dead Space 2, please. Please.
It's like the first game, but better. It's just does such a great job of like building tension, and I don't know, the gameplay is just a lot of fun. The dismembering everything is still a blast. You have new enemies. The environments are a lot more varied this time because you're not just on a gray spaceship.
That is key for me, I think.
Yeah. It has a very BioShock feel to it now. Like, yes. As far as the environments go.
When I got to the church, I was like, ooh, it's BioShock Church.
Right. And as you, I think I'm a little bit further along than you are. I'm about halfway mm-hmm. through it. And you'll get to it with some other areas that you're like, oh, this is like BioShock.
Hey, I like that.
Yeah, it's a good thing. There's some set pieces that are just like fantastic. The way the camera pans around on some stuff and you see like the glowing visor thing is just really cool. The sound design. That,
your helmet?
Yeah, your helmet. What did I say?
Right. Yeah, visor. Yeah, okay.
Visor. Like it's the same thing.
Visor. It is cool. Yeah. You're right.
The sound design is just amazing.
Magic helmet.
Yes, it is. The surround sound in it is fantastic.
Yeah, you can hear every little like scratch and noise off to the side.
That adds to the ambiance a lot. That's what makes it so creepy is you'll be, you know, you're in like this futuristic environment and it's like very dark and you're walking along and all of a sudden just like some steam pipes go off. You know, no monsters or anything. You just hear like steam release and you're like, whoa. And then 5 minutes later, you know, some monster jumps out of a wall and scares the shit out of you also. But I've been playing it at night with Mrs. Cheapy watching, which is why I'm sort of moving slowly. And I'm really impressed. I mean, this is like an A quality title. I mean, it's like a Hollywood blockbuster title, except it's good. Usually Hollywood blockbusters kind of suck, but I don't know. Comparing this to like Resident Evil 5, you can see why Western games have come so far and Japanese games are still, you know, lagging far behind. I mean, it's so far superior to Resident Evil 5. It's not even funny.
And they're both, this does a much better job of conveying a story too, because now, Isaac, he talks now. Like the first game, he didn't really say a lot.
Right.
This time around, like he's got all of this, I don't know, multiple, it's not personalities, but he's got all this psychosis.
Emotional baggage.
Going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very
cool. He saw some shit in the first game and it's.
And it messed him up big time.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I highly recommend the game. It's, I don't know. I tried the multiplayer and I don't know if the multiplayer is a very, very much of a selling point, but the single player is so strong so far. That, I don't know. I'm so far impressed. And I think even though it's January, I don't know what's about. What's with January and awesome science fiction games coming out? You know, last year was Mass Effect. Could be another game of the year. I could see this being the best game, one of the best games to come out this year.
Oh, no, it's not going to be the best game this year.
What's going to be the best game?
It's either going to be Dragon Age 2, Skyrim, or Batman.
Well, this is going to be one of the best games.
This should be in the talk, I think. I mean,
this should be what?
This should be in the talk for best game of the year.
Yeah.
Even this early.
It's just outstanding. It's so, and I don't, you know, we don't want to like spoil anything, but you know,
Batman's
weapons are
environments are 5 times larger than the last game.
Can I drive around in the Batmobile and like do like, you know, like bust bank robbers and stuff like that? Because I want to do that.
I don't want to do that, No, that would actually probably ruin the game.
Oh.
Yeah, that would probably kill it. Oh. I wouldn't be surprised if there is some driving around in the Batmobile, but like the random stop a bank robbery like Spider-Man 2 the game would make the game very boring very quick. It needs to be a slicker, streamlined,
okay,
visceral, for lack of, speaking of Dead Space 2, experience.
Gotcha. Ship, did you try Dead Space Ignition?
I did, because you get some free stuff if you play through it. And you don't have to beat it all the way. Like, you just have to have a save file for it. So it unlocks some different rooms inside of Dead Space 2 itself.
This is the Xbox Live Arcade game and the PlayStation Network game?
Right, right. Okay. Was it on PlayStation as well?
I don't remember. I think so.
I think it might have been. It's the hacking mini games interspersed with a motion comic.
And this was $5, right?
$5 or free with a pre-order. There's a bunch of different ways you could get it for free. But that game is terrible. The motion comic stuff is very cool, but the hacking games are just god-awful.
You just better off spending the $5 on one of the DLC packs that they have that come with all the weapons and suits if you have to spend $5?
I don't know. I mean, you spend $5 on this, you get a suit, you get four rooms that are opened up in the main campaign.
But you get like three suits in each pack and a lot of weapons and stuff.
How many suits are you going to wear?
I don't know. Well, one at a time. I don't know.
Yeah. I was satisfied with what this stuff is. I mean, I like going into rooms that are open and finding power nodes and stuff.
All right.
So I was satisfied with the $5. It's just the game is terrible.
Gotcha.
I wish that there was a way to just watch the motion comic.
Without having to do all the other shit.
Yeah, because you get like audio logs and like the story from Ignition links into Dead Space 2.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. Like I like the fiction in Dead Space, but I just don't want to play these hacking games that are just awful.
Gotcha. Okay, so I think what we're saying here is everybody buy Dead Space 2. It's fantastic.
I'll run out tomorrow.
I mean, I didn't particularly like the first one. I got sort of bored after a couple of hours, but this has really got me. It just seems so much more polished in every possible way.
Every possible way?
Yes.
Every possible way?
Every. Just you name a way. Name a possible way.
Backwards?
What do you mean? Like walking backwards?
I don't know. You said a name away. That's a way.
Let's move on to Shipwreck.
Is it? How about in the cowboy way?
Shipwreck, save me.
I finished Two Worlds 2.
Thank you.
That I like that game.
Yes. How long did it take you?
I have a review almost finished for it. It'll be up here in the next couple of days.
Hmm.
But it's certainly got a ton of flaws, but it's enjoyable to play.
How many hours?
It took me 45 hours, and I still have a ton of side quests to complete.
Nice.
So, yeah, if you like medieval fantasy RPG games, I mean, you can't go that wrong with it. It's $40 at Kmart this week, so I definitely think it's worth that.
Very good.
I don't have a good Kmart nearby. It's kind of depressing.
Yeah, I don't think you need a good one. I think you just need a Kmart.
No, the Penn Station Kmart, I don't think honors the sales.
Oh, yeah, that's like the free Kmart. It's awful.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, so no, I don't. It isn't just a Kmart. It has to be a good Kmart.
Excellent. Okay, so if you absolutely positively have to spend 45 hours playing a Oblivion like role playing game, and you can't wait for the new Oblivion game, Two Worlds 2 is where it's at.
Maybe, sure.
Maybe. All right, wait for Shipwreck's written review.
My review is going to be positive, but it does have a lot of issues, some of which you're like used to seeing in these type of games. Like you'll come across people that will just be like hovering above the ground 3 feet and floating backwards. And there'll be stuff where, I don't know, just like janky stuff. And then, I don't know, the graphics aren't that great. The combat's not that interesting, but like the whole experience is enjoyable.
Got it. It's greater than the sum of its parts.
Yes, you put all its terrible parts together, and and it's not that bad.
You get a pretty good whole.
It is pretty crazy though, because I'm looking at your month of gamage on Raptor. And it's 45 hours of Two Worlds 2, followed by 9 hours of Fallout. Like it just drops from 45 hours to 9. You spent a lot of time in the last month playing Two Worlds 2.
Wait, now I want to see what I'm at under 1 month. Yikes. Okay, here's my rundown. 13 hours of Plants vs. Zombies on Xbox Live Arcade. Because Mrs. Chibi loves it. I mean, she wants to play every night, but I think we're almost done. So,
how many hours?
13.
Okay.
12 hours of 3-on-3 NHL Arcade. Wow. I really got my $2.50 worth out of that game.
I think so.
6 hours of Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. 4 hours of Call of Duty Black Ops. That was the single player. 3 hours of Dead Space 2 and 3 hours of Dead Rising 2. So
I've barely played anything in the last month. Mm-hmm. I wonder where I've been. Yep. I put 19 hours into Dragon Age.
That's where you've been.
And then 2 hours into Spider-Man and 45 minutes into 3-on-3 hockey. And another 45 minutes into Pinball FX2.
Right. Okay, let's see what else we got here. Here, why don't you do these other stories, Wombat?
All right, let me go back to the list now.
Pick one story and do it.
Well, these two kind of blend into each other. It's just that EA's fourth quarter shows that PS3 sales were even to Xbox 360 sales.
All right.
For their games. Actually, for their games. For their worldwide. Games. Yeah.
Yes. That's worldwide games.
Okay.
It's very interesting. It's also interesting to note that console games, retail games, sales were down for EA as opposed to digital, which was up.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. I see their stock went up like 15% today.
Yeah, no, it went up.
It went up 15%?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm still down, by the way.
They are the number one publisher in the Apple App Store for both iPhone and iPad, and number one on Windows Phone 7. I can't speak anymore. Nope. I think something happened to my mouth. Net digital revenue is up $62 million year over year, hitting $195 million, while package goods dropped to $78 million from $91 from the previous year.
Now, is this the same quarter that NBA Live or Elite would have come out?
It's quite possible.
Because that's a significant chunk of that. Like that game probably would sell 4 or 5 million or whatever.
It was Medal of Honor and Need for Speed. Both have passed 5 million units shipped to date, but I still don't think it was enough to keep them from losing money.
Yeah. All right. Shall we move on to Sony and talk about the NGP?
What's that?
You down with NGP?
The new power generation?
You're supposed to say you all know me.
Oh,
should we try it again?
I like calling it the new power generation.
Yeah, but that's backwards though. It's NGP.
Well, yeah, but we all know that the new power generation was really just Prince, and that's why we're going to be calling this thing the Prince.
The Prince, PlayStation Prince.
The PlayStation Prince, because it's small, black, and funky.
Anyway, so I went. They revealed it in Tokyo last week, and I actually got to go. I wrote up two things for G4 TV, asked me to go on their behalf, and I said okay. So we learned all about the. Oh, I even have the paper right here about the NGP. The big selling point. What would you say the biggest selling point of the NGP is, while I'm at the single best feature about the NGP?
There's actually a lot of good features about the NGP.
Top two. Give me the top two.
Dual analog.
Yes.
And the touchscreen on the back.
Touchscreen on the back. Shipwreck, top two.
Dual analog and the just overall power of it.
All right.
PS3, basically.
Yeah, okay, those are good, but the big selling point is the front screen, the front touch screen, which is 5 inches and a very high resolution screen, and by comparison, an iPhone has a 3.5-inch screen.
And as you would say in any conversation, regardless of the argument, 5 inches is really big.
I wouldn't say that. Your wife might say that.
I hope so.
So, I mean, I sat through this presentation of the NGP, and you know, it looks cool, but I guess the million-dollar question, well, actually, much more than a million-dollar question, is there still a market for basically a hardcore mobile gaming device? When you have iPhones and iPod Touches out there, and you have the Nintendo 3DS, which I think we would all agree appeals more to a more general audience, you know, for younger players and, you know, maybe people who are just, you know, are enticed by this whole 3D thing. Can the NGP still be successful?
I think there is room in the marketplace for a new PlayStation Portable device. I have a feeling I'm going to be the minority, but
I think you're right. No, I think you're right.
You do? Okay, good.
I think it's not going to outsell the 3DS.
I think it needs to go forward towards it. The success of the Prince is really going to lie in its ability to carve out its own marketplace, where the competition isn't the 3DS and the competition isn't the iPhone, where it's its own thing. I think the success of the PlayStation 2 at its time was this is the thing that you should have to play games. And if you want to play the best games on a handheld, or these types of games, you need to own this console.
I think the presentation that they did, it makes sense. I think that the presentation that they did in Tokyo maybe was not so successful in presenting that, you know, in selling that aspect of it, because, you know, we didn't really see a lot of games. You saw Uncharted, you saw Hot Shots Golf, and you saw that Devilish Fiends or something. I can't even remember what it was called. Deviants, Little Deviants. And the rest you saw basically renders of PS3 cutscenes running on the NGP, which doesn't really blow, probably not going to blow anybody away. I think the price is going to be very important, obviously. But I still think, I mean, a lot of people look at the PSP and say, wow, you know, it was a failure. It just was a complete bust. The fact is, Sony sold a lot of them. They didn't sell as many as the 3DS by a long shot, but they still sold like 60 million units. And sure, they could have sold more, and they could have sold more games to go along with that. But I think if you sell 60 million of anything, it's considered a success. I don't care what you're selling. Shipwreck, what do you think about the NGP?
Yeah, I think there's room for it. Like you said, I think it's not going to challenge the 3DS. I don't believe. A lot of it comes down to the price point in this thing, but I just don't know. They've kind of limited their audience with it. It's just for the hardcore gamers.
True.
And it's for the hardcore gamers that want to play console type games on the go.
Right.
Well, see, that's where I think, and don't ask me how to do this, but I'm sure there's a way. But there has to be a fine line that one can walk where the games that you play on this portable device have to be games designed to be played for this portable device. I know it sounds stupid and simplistic, but I think, if anything, the quote-unquote failure of the PSP was that a lot of these games felt like console games or PS2 games shoehorned into the PSP, which is why you saw a lot of PSP games eventually get ported to the PS2, because they were never really PSP games. They need to find a way. This console has two touch screens, dual analog sticks. There needs to be some creativity involved in coming up with games that are NGP games and not just portable PlayStation 3 games.
I really agree with you a lot there, because I think that was part of the problem with their whole presentation. So they show Uncharted on there, and Uncharted looks good, right? It looks, you know, you're impressed. You see, it looks very good for something on a handheld. The problem is, if I'm going to play Uncharted, I would always much rather play it on a home console, because it's always going to be better.
Yeah, it's the same thing as why they put the God of War games out for the PSP, and the whole time I'm playing them, I'm thinking, well, this is great that I'm playing on this, but I'm sitting here on my couch playing this. I'd much rather play something on the PS3 or the PS2 even.
Right, or I'd rather just wait for the God of War to come out proper on the PS3 or, you know, on a home console. So they showed Uncharted and Hot Shots Golf, and these are all things that, you know, you'd probably rather just play them at home, where it's really going to be better. I mean, okay, it almost looks as good as the PS3, but, you know, almost.
I think it's going to be a big hit in Japan. Just because they talk about all of this networking stuff, where it talks to everything that's near,
Monster Hunter for it, it'll be a big hit in Japan.
Sure.
Okay, so let's talk about the networking stuff for a second. So they didn't say it during the presentation, but afterwards it came out that there's going to be two models, one that has just Wi-Fi and one that has Wi-Fi and 3G. Question is, like, I'm assuming you would have to buy a monthly, you know, enter into a new cell phone contract to get the one with the 3G connection. And how many people really look into to take on another contract just limited to a handheld gaming device?
An unproven handheld gaming device.
It seems like a stretch to me.
A stretch. I highly doubt I would get the 3G model, because I don't see any reason why I am not signing a contract unless I can go into, I mean, what is it? I could go into an AT&T store and get a, whatever they're going to call this thing.
Yeah.
For, you know, $50 if I sign up for a $30 a month package.
You would still do that?
No.
You would?
But no, I still wouldn't do that, because I don't need the, I don't need, if this device is more than a gaming system, I don't need the other things it does. Does that make sense?
Right. Well, and it's the most important thing that it, you know, isn't, is a phone. And that's where you're willing to spend the $30 a month or $50
a month. Yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, if they add Skype support and texting, do you need a phone?
Well, I already have a phone.
I'm saying you already have a phone, but if they added the ability to use, I don't know, instant messenger,
the problem
texting,
is we already have all these things on our iPhones. That
we already have all the, well,
it's,
I don't know.
It's way smaller.
My Samsung Reality does that.
This thing, by the way, it's you know, called a NGP, and P is for portable. It ain't that small. You know,
no, the key to the success of this as a console is that it needs to be marketed as a console. It's a device for playing the best video games you could play on the go. If Sony goes out of their way to market this as an it does everything, it will not succeed. Because no one needs another portable device that does everything. What people may want is a portable device that plays great games. There is a market. I believe there's a market out there for people who want to buy a really nice portable device that plays great games. If they have to put it in their book bag as opposed to their pocket, I think people are willing to do that.
Right.
I don't think people want a 3G text messaging, Netflix streaming doodad that's too big to fit in their pocket when they already have an iPhone that probably does both those things already.
I think there are people that are willing to buy that, and for that reason. But I think that there are far more people who will get roped into the whole 3D aspect of the 3DS, in that it's, hey, look, I don't have to buy a new television to get 3D. I can do it right on this $250 device, and it's a much smaller investment. I think people will get roped into that. More people get roped into that than to this.
The challenge is going to be content. I've said it last week, and I'll say it every episode till I'm out of breath. Content is king. If the right games are released, if there are games that are must-play games, I can't think of one game that came out on the PSP that's a must-play.
And don't you think if there was, they would just put it on PS3?
It's Luminous, right? Luminous is the PSP.
I mean, is that the must-play? Didn't that game come out on consoles also?
Of course,
eventually?
It's on Xbox.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, as a portable game, that was it. I mean, that came out with the system. It's still, like, you could play it forever.
Yep.
It's a great game.
Yes. But would your life be empty if you never played it? And I had...
You're split hand. I mean, my life wouldn't be empty for not playing games.
But there are some great games on other consoles that you would be, you know, you'd be missing out by not playing. I don't think if you skip Luminous and you consider yourself a gamer, that will diminish your experience as a gamer.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm rooting for them. I hope it does well. I just think they have a sort of an uphill battle.
I think it's the game pricing. Like, that's going to be the killer, is that these things are such high quality that the budgets to produce these games are going to be really high. And if the install base isn't there to support these high costs in development, and I just don't know how long this system's going to get supported by all these big name developers.
If the games are worth playing, then the prices may be worth it. If a game is worth $60 for the 360 or the PS3,
I'm saying the development costs to make these games.
Yeah, but
and then to have
so
enough,
the games
a big enough install base to make that worthwhile.
Yeah, that's going to be the trick, is that install base. If it's not high enough, then third parties just won't support it.
But which is what happened sort of with the PSP a little bit.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, I'm going to get one. I'm looking forward to it. I'm more looking forward to the smaller games, though. Like, I don't want to play console type games on my portable. I want to play the casual type stuff or the.
But
the
is it gonna have? Is it gonna have that type of stuff on there? As much of it as cheap as the stuff that's on the iPhone? I don't think so.
Ideally, I would think that they're gonna have a PSN type of store that has all the smaller style games.
Yeah.
See, I think it's, I mean, then again, I don't make games, so I could be very wrong. I would like to see something that's kind of the exact opposite. A game that actually takes a long time to finish, but can be played, but can and should be played in short bursts, I think might do better than just
that's,
like a puzzle
that's
game.
That's a large portion of the PSP library, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. But I don't think any of those games were really, you know, I don't know. I haven't played that many. It's, you know, I'm not a big JRPG fan. Mm-hmm. Like some,
which is
like
what's
going to
be a lot of what's going to be on
I know.
NGP.
I think like World of Warcraft as a portable would do well. Like there's a reason for your 3G. Like World of Warcraft on the PSP2 would be very successful.
Well, War of Warcraft's going to, that's really reached there. The most popular game in the world would
be
successful.
I'm just saying, like, that's, but that should be what Sony is thinking when they're trying to make games.
Well, DC Universe Online on that, maybe.
No, because that wouldn't work, because I don't think the graphic style and the character movement would work. I think that more point and clicky kind of, and especially with the touchscreen, I think it could work.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. So during this presentation...
And I think it would work better as an offline single-player game, just taking the elements that makes World of Warcraft addictive.
Well,
am I making any sense? Or
it's okay.
Do I sound like a blabbering idiot? Because, you know, I don't
A little
know
of both, I think.
A little of both? Okay, just checking.
During the presentation, Kojima got on stage and said that it was his dream to be able to have a portable gaming system that could play the same game that you were playing on your console. So let's say I'm playing, you know, Metal Gear Solid, and I get up to a certain point in Metal Gear Solid, and I'm at home on my PS3, and then I got to go to the doctor, that I could just somehow continue playing my game on my portable system, the same exact game. And he said that's his dream, and that during E3, he's basically going to be showing us a game that can do this.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
And recently, the rumor on Kotaku is that the next version of the PlayStation 3 firmware is going to support saving your games to the cloud, which I'm assuming would pave the way for something like this. So you don't want to do that, but you might want to do it depending on what type of game it is.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. No, I want to keep it separate. I feel like one of the two would need to suffer.
No, so I think it all depends on the games. Like if I'm playing Plants vs. Zombies on my PS3 and I can use that same save file on my NGP, I think that type of thing is fine. But I'm not going to play Uncharted on my PS3 and then play it on my NGP. It's
That's
not
going
to be the thing I'm going to do. But
that is
the smaller titles is what I'd use it for.
And I think there's still like so much that we don't know about the NGP. Does it have any internal storage? I mean, they didn't mention it. What's the story with these cards? I mean, according to the press kit that I got, it uses proprietary flash memory cards that you play the game off of, you save the game onto, and if you download DLC for the game, you also download it to the same card.
That's so, not much different than a DS card.
No, it's not. It's not.
It's just a game cartridge.
But what about if they're going to sell? I mean, I'm assuming they're going to be selling downloadable games as well. You know, is this going to be saved in internal memory?
Isn't there a slot for another memory stick?
But they don't say what it is, though. Is that another proprietary memory
either
format?
It's probably going to be a proprietary memory stick, which will have a hard drive. It's going to be one or the other.
I think they want to get away I don't know which is harder to pirate, if it has internal hard drive or...
Yeah, whichever one is less hard to pirate is what they'll go with. But it'll have one or the other. And depending upon, I mean, for all you know, you know, it may have that proprietary stick, but, you know, out of the box, who knows what they'll package it with.
Bundle it with... There's a lot of unanswered questions.
Yeah.
But
you know,
we'll see.
8 gigs on this thing
more.
May be all you need.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm excited to learn more about it, and I'm sure we'll talk more about it very soon.
Sure, and I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of complaints about everything we said.
No, I don't think so. It was a lovely discussion. So. Shipwreck has a new segment. Shipwreck, tell us about your new segment that you're bringing to the Gagcast.
Okay, I thought this would be a fun way for people to get pissed off on us. So,
Dick wolves raping everybody 24/7.
Yes. No.
Is that this episode?
We have a new segment called Top Analysts that we're going to try out. where we always see all these quotes from top video game analysts all the time telling us what's going to happen in the future and everything like that. So I just thought it would be fun if we were top analysts and kind of made predictions every week or every couple of weeks, and we kind of kept track of them over the long term. Does that make sense to everybody?
I love it. Sure. And we can keep score. We can keep score how we do. Hopefully we can, you know, pick things that can be easily defined as right or wrong. Well, yeah. So who's starting this week?
Well, it's Shipwreck's thing, so he should start.
Okay.
Okay, well, this one's kind of a longer term one, though, for tracking-wise. But it feeds back into the NGP discussion that we were just having right there.
Yes.
So
the gross national product?
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
ignore that.
We got to move fast here. I got to go. So
yeah. So as a top analyst, I am predicting that at best the NGP will be the fifth best selling mobile gaming device in the U.S.
What are the other four?
The other four would be the iPhone / iPod Touch.
Mm-hmm.
The Google Android platform.
Okay.
The 3DS and the DS. And the time frame that I'm saying is for like the first 3 years that the NGP is out.
Okay.
So I think the best it can do over those 3 years is the fifth best-selling mobile device.
I
can't wait to call you out on that in 2000.
Everybody write this to put it on your calendar.
Right.
Wombat, what do you got?
I don't have one yet. You go first.
Oh.
You had one last week when we talked about this, Wombat.
We did? I did? What was it?
Come up with it again. What is yours, Cheapy?
Mine is I will predict the price of the NGP. The cheapest version, whatever the cheapest version is of the NGP, will be $249.99. That is my prediction.
I can see that.
That's pretty low.
I think most people would say that's pretty low, but I think that Sony knows what they need to do. I don't think they're going to take Nintendo for granted. And if, you know, especially if this thing doesn't have any internal memory.
It's gonna be the Wi-Fi only model with 512 with a 512 card.
512.
Yep.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. That's my prediction. Wombat, you have no prediction.
Remember the first PSP came out with a 512 card.
I know. We know.
It was the joke.
I got it. So
I'll go with short term. I'll say DC Universe Online cracks the top six on the NPDs next month. This month.
Oh. Okay. That's a good prediction. Somebody will be. We gotta keep a Google Doc with our predictions so we can keep score. Okay, I like that prediction.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with top six.
It's tough for a PlayStation exclusive game like that. Well, it's on the PC too, I guess. But still,
yeah, I think it's gonna be tough to crack top 10.
I think so too. So I think that's an interesting prediction.
We'll see.
Anything else? I mean, I kind of have to go. So.
We'll have to talk about hydrophobia next week. I'm sure everyone's really upset.
Hydrophobia is on sale for $5 this week, and I played about 20 minutes of it. It's pretty good. I think for $5, you probably can't go wrong.
You know, they redid the whole game, right?
I know. That's why I bought it. So nobody really re-reviewed it. I mean, somebody I'm sure did, but everybody should at least download the demo while it's cheap. I'm sorry. We got to do a short show this week, but we'll be back next week with a longer show. And, I don't know anything else that we need to say.
What are those GoDaddy codes again? I forgot.
Okay. GoDaddy.com, 10% off any order, keg 10, $5 off a $30 order, keg 5 off 30, $7.49 domain registrations, keg domain. It's GoDaddy.com for your web hosting and domain registration. And follow us all on Twitter. You'll figure it out, our names and whatnot.
And no live show for me this week. I'll be out of town most of the weekend, and then it's the Super Bowl.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, everybody.
I was going to say, and you beat me to it. I was going to say, and a happy early birthday to Shipwreck.
Also, let us know what you think of a show that's around an hour compared to a show that's around an hour and a half. Which do you like better?
I can guess what they're going to say.
Me too. Okay. Bye.
Bread's done.
All right. I felt guilty about the short show this week, so I'm offering you a CADcast contest. It's called What Effin' Game Is This From? And I'm going to play a audio clip from a game that I used to own. I probably still own it somewhere. And that's your only hint. First person to post the name of the game in the CADcast discussion thread for this week's show will win a $250 gift card to the retailer of their choice. And that's it. Here we go. Oh, my God.